Corner Pillars, a podcast where we share life's experiences in view of God's greater story. We're your hosts, Christy,
Kimberly,
and I'm Vicki.
The idea of corner pillars comes from Psalm 144:12, where David prays that God would make our daughters like corner pillars, fashioned for a palace. As daughters of the King, it's our desire to be corner pillars, becoming women of substance and beauty, where our lives put God's story on display.
Today, we're going to talk about intimacy with God. I think it's such a relevant topic for today because in this world, people are searching for meaning. They're searching for intimacy. We really have a desire to know and to be known. And I think back to our time in the garden when God created Adam and Eve to walk with him and to know him. And they really had a beautiful situation going as the Imago Dei. And what that means is image of God. And for those who are listening, they probably can't see, but every day I wear a necklace that says Imago Dei. Mm. And it's to remind me of who we were meant to be. Mm-hmm. Because today people are finding their identity in all kinds of things, in what they do and how they feel, in what people tell them, you know, you're this, mm-hmm. you're that, all those things. But really our identity should be found in Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. And so to find that identity, we really need to get to know him. And so to develop intimacy, we're going to talk about that today.
Yeah, and you think about image bearers.
Yes.
The Imago Dei, we bear God's image.
Yes.
How else can you find that purpose if you don't know the original image that you are carved after,
yes.
that you're supposed to be reflecting?
Yes.
So I think a lot of, you know, at the fall in the story of redemption, we've been cut off from the original source.
Yes.
And so people are trying to carve out their identity in so many different places. Labels and roles and performance, yes. and perfectionism, or being so chill that we don't care, you know, all of that becomes distractions to having our life be found in the original God himself.
Yes.
And being tied back into the source of that identity.
Yes. Yeah.
Not even and only that we are his reflection, his image, but another piece of that is that almost like the stamps, the wax stamps that
right.
they would impress,
mm-hmm.
you
yes.
sometimes see on wedding invitations and other things, but mm-hmm. that the king may seal the envelopes or the
yes.
edict and
it's like
put the wax. Yes, it is. Press down that image is part and inherently part of who we are. It's not something that can be taken away from us,
yes.
but it's about knowing who we are based on who does God say that we are,
yes.
and giving us value and purpose and worth, for sure.
Yes. And I love thinking about this topic because when we come to Christ and we believe in him, yes, there's a transaction that happens, okay? Jesus paid for our sin, and so he takes that sin upon himself, and he hands us his righteousness. So there is a transactional element to that, but also there's a relationship to be sought.
Right.
And there's an identity yes. to be gained from what has happened. And so when we come to Christ, it's not just about, okay, I've now received my salvation. No, I've entered a new life
mm-hmm.
with him. And it's a life where he is forming in me that identity, which was our original purpose. And I love that when we think about what Jesus did for us, he didn't just stop at forgiving our sins, but he gave us the opportunity to grow, to be more like God through a lifetime. Some people use the word sanctification. You know, some of us use the word growth, but the idea is he's inviting us to become more like him.
Absolutely. And it's the idea that God says, be more than what you are individually in and of yourself. Be transformed
yes.
to be like him. Mm-hmm. And that never stops, which is
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Right.
And I think of where that comes from, what you're just saying, being transformed. How in the world do I be transformed? By the renewing
Absolutely.
Of your mind. And I think that's just part of our heart for this podcast,
yes,
is that
is.
We would be women who are corner pillars,
yep.
who are transformed, not because we're smart, but because we're going to God's word.
Yes.
We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're seeing our story in light of God's greater story.
Yes. Yes. And so what I'm hoping to do today is I want to invite people into a place where they can understand God's invitation to them. I've got to give just a note of credit. I'm taking some of the outline of this material from my team with Navigators Church Ministries, but also I love this topic so much that I've made it my own. And honestly, that's really what flows from my heart for people, is that they would know the Lord better, that they would know Him deeper, that they would learn to hear from Him, and that they would respond to Him because they understand His love for them. So this is God's invitation to all of us, okay? He invites us to salvation, but He then invites us to get to know Him, okay? So this relationship with God is a place where we can go, and I'd love your input on this, but I'm going to throw out some things we can experience actually with God. And so one of those things we can experience is wonder, and we can experience life. We can taste and see that the Lord is good. We can come to Him and abide or rest or stay and just be with Him. We can fellowship with Him. You know, there are so many things that God promises. I'd love to hear what you think of when you think of God inviting you to be with Him.
Yeah, I think that the whole idea of abide really resonates with me, because I think in our culture, we're told to go, go, go. And we get so much of our sense of identity in our accomplishments and our activity that abiding is this, it's awkward because I'm not going and doing. It's an activity, but it's a relational activity.
Yeah.
And it's a restful activity. And so there's a little bit of me at first that feels like, but what do I do? But like, what's out there? And once I settle into it, it's really God's invitation to let go of striving. So you think of that verse, cease striving. What a beautiful thing. It's not God like whipping us into shape, like stop running around. He's giving us permission to just be. And so I've realized over the years, the world has told me you are a human doing.
Yeah.
And God's saying, no, you're a human being.
That's right.
And I want you to be. And so that invitation is to learn how to be with Him.
Yeah.
In who He is.
Yeah. And I might even add that we are not a human knowing.
Ooh.
Right?
I've never heard that one. I like that.
Because, I mean, all of us have been through a higher level of education, right? And I'm a theology geek. I love that stuff. Or a nerd, I don't know what's the proper term, but I love to study the things of God and the things of Scripture and to know more. And so we can draw our identity from what we know, but still, we're not a human knowing either. We're a human being.
Right. Ooh, that's good.
And so what does God want us to be?
So much, I think, is taking what we know and making applications to our lives based on what does Scripture say, who does Scripture say that we are?
Mm-hmm.
And then this idea of, actually, I like the picture of us walking with Christ. And it's this, as we walk our lives with Christ, we go in relationship. It's not we're running a race alongside Him and, you know, blazing necessarily past Him. It's this, He takes us by the hand. He guides us. He shares with us. And it's us walking along, letting Him lead us as we walk out this story that He's designed for us. Sometimes that's a challenging, rocky path, and He holds tight to us. And other times it is like walking along the beach, and it's beautiful and enjoyable, and you listen and soak in the sounds of it all. And yet it's Him having His hand on us, and we're secure in Him as we walk wherever He takes us.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a promise for us. And that promise is never-ending love, never-ending forgiveness. He never gets tired of forgiving when we come to him, and his never-ending presence. And that's what you were just talking
about,
Kimberly. He's always there. We never have to worry about, does God see me? Does he know where I'm at? Does he understand what I'm experiencing? Because the answer is always yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when we take advantage of that opportunity to go with him and be with him, I really do feel that he speaks to us in that still and quiet place where we know, we have that assurance that he is there. One of my favorite scriptures in that light is found in Exodus 33:11. It's talking about Moses. And it says that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend. And you know what? There are other places in Scripture. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, you know, I call you friends. And so God wants to relate to us in that relationship so that it's not just about what we know. It's not just about what we do. The being comes when we're part of a relationship. The being comes when we're being made into his likeness. And I think that's a beautiful thing that the creator of the universe would allow his character and his being to be poured into us and who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think of jars of clay.
Mm, yeah.
The New Testament
phrase.
Take
that a little further.
Yeah. The New Testament phrase that Paul talks about. You know, we hold this glory, this precious reality, and yet we are jars of clay. We're not sparkly, shiny people.
Right?
As much as we want to be,
yeah.
We're jars of clay. And I've even heard the phrase, you know, being cracked pots.
Yeah,
so that,
I've heard that too.
So that, you know, God's glory can shine through us. And so those places where we've all been broken and pressed down and, you know, sculpted in ways that we didn't really think we were signing up for are actually the contours of how God shows his image in this world. So yeah. He actually uses those things that we think are worthless and deformed, and he actually can shine out his glory through that.
Yeah,
I think that that's what makes it so powerful, in the fact that God works in our lives in the midst of our insufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that
right.
we know it, other people can see, the fact that we are not enough and that our value is not found in ourselves, in and of ourselves,
yeah.
but that when he accomplishes things in us and through us, and we stand back and we're like, that wasn't me.
Amen.
We can clearly see it was him and
yeah.
give him the glory and watch him work.
Yeah, so very true. I'm going to move on to 2 Corinthians 3. In verse 18, it talks about us, believers in Jesus, who with unveiled faces reflect, and I love that, reflect the Lord's glory. It's not coming from within us.
Mm-hmm.
It's his glory that's being reflected through us, and we're being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit.
Mm.
So those times that we spend with him when we're in prayer, when we're listening, when we're digging into his word because we want to know him, that's where that light is seen and it can be reflected from us. And that's a really good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've got a question for you, though. Some people look at their time with God as a duty.
Discipline.
A discipline. So what do you think leads people to see being with God as a duty or a checklist rather than a privilege of being with the living God?
I think a piece of that is even just figuring out how to walk through our faith and looking at the tangible things and saying, I can go to church. I can do that. I can spend time with the Lord. I can do my quote unquote quiet time with God. And sometimes it can be about checking those things off a list, but sometimes it's about just how do I do this? What does this look like? I think we even start doing that with young children, saying these are some good things to do, when we may not realize that ultimately it's not about checking those things off the list or getting those things done, but it's about abiding. It's about sitting in and actually coming to know the God of the universe as your best friend, to really get to know him and realize he knows you even further to the depth that you could even know yourself.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think in our world that is so frenetic and so chaotic, our hearts go into hiding because this is a dog eat dog world. I mean, we're living outside of Eden.
Yes.
And I often remind myself, like when I'm disappointed, well, that's what I should expect.
Yeah.
Because we're living outside of Eden. There's thorns and there's thistles.
Yeah.
And so our hearts go into this kind of self-protect mode, which is I'm going to go into hiding.
Yeah.
And it's easier just to perform and do stuff.
Absolutely.
And then we kind of go through the motions.
Yes.
And then I feel good about myself.
Yes.
And isn't that what God's role is to make me feel good about me?
Yeah.
No.
No, but I've heard that before and I've probably thought it before as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So we kind of get things reversed a bit.
Yeah.
And it takes some shocking thing, again, to help remind us, oh, wait, I'm not here for me to look good.
Yeah.
I'm here for God to look good, and he can look good in my bad.
Yeah.
Is that even possible?
Let's talk about that for just a minute then. Abiding when things are hard. And I'll give you an illustration that I love to share. Last November, I bought some allium bulbs on sale. And
what are allium bulbs?
Well, I'm about to explain it.
Please do. You're the horticulturalist.
I know, right? I love flowers and things. So an allium is this big purple ball of flower that blooms in early June, maybe late May, depending on the year and the weather. But I bought the bulbs to plant it in the ground. And you know how it is with bulbs, I think. You know, you put it in the ground in the fall. And all you do is you hide it under the dirt, which is going to be cold and damp and wet
and dark
for a long season.
And nothing appears to be happening.
And nothing appears to be happening for the longest time. But I knew what an allium flower looks like.
And I'm getting chills just thinking.
Gorgeous.
I don't even know what it looks like.
Yeah,
but
it's a gorgeous.
The anticipation.
I know. You'll have to Google it. And maybe we can put it in the show notes. I'm not sure. But I took these three giant bulbs that were in my hand, and I put them under the ground, and I patted the ground around it, knowing that nothing would appear for the next several months, and they would just be abiding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Abiding underground during the cold, dark, wet time. But I knew that in the spring, something beautiful was going to come from their abiding underground. Mm. And sure enough, this spring, they sent up shoots, and I got the most gorgeous big purple balls blooming in the landscaping around my house.
Oh, wow.
But if I hadn't had the faith to put them in the ground and keep them there, even though I knew they were going to freeze and be cold and damp and dark, I would not see the beautiful flowers that I was able to enjoy this spring. So if I may, can I throw that out there as a spiritual illustration for us during the hard times? How do you see or have you seen abiding during those times deepen your relationship and bring beauty with the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
That actually makes me think of, even while you're planting that bulb, so oftentimes in our lives, I think we want to see the spiritual growth taking place.
Right now.
And yes,
I
Lord,
think
as, you are doing a good work. I will submit to this.
Yes. And I can see it. I can see consistent and constant growth that is taking place and happening. And yet I think so much our spiritual walk is like that bulb that is underground. We don't, you know, every few days, dig up that bulb and go, what is it doing? You know, we leave it there and you just continue to let it grow. And so that growth is not often seen in ways that are measurable and consistent, even though that growth is taking place. We don't always notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that idea of abiding is to remain. And I think in the painful places, it's the word submit kind of comes to mind.
Okay.
That I don't have to independently verify that God is doing something good in my story.
Mm-hmm.
Because the story's not over yet.
Yeah.
So it may be a painful part of my story. And I submit my hopes and dreams and expectations to him and let him write a better story than what I can with my life. And so, again, it takes trust to do that. It takes faith to walk in step with his spirit and to trust that he can make something beautiful out of the ashes, and he can recreate something that is better than what I can. And again, I don't know when the fruit is going to come.
Yeah.
It might not even be in this life.
Yeah.
But we have all of eternity. See, we are people of eternity.
Yeah.
And we have this sense of transcendence. And I think our world tells us, no, like the person with the most toys wins, or get all that you can get, be all that you can be. And that's too small of a story to live in.
Mm-hmm.
So God has this greater story. And if I can just shift the perspective a bit and trust, and I don't have to finagle it, I don't have to verify, I don't even have to put my seal of approval on how the story ends.
Right.
I'm just going to trust. And I know that when I see it from his perspective, I trust that I'm going to say, you're good.
Yeah.
You are so good, and you're so clever, and you're so wise. I could have never made that all come together the way that you did. Yeah. And so that's what I'm banking my life on.
Mm-hmm.
In spending time with the Lord, I think one of the things I think of, and one of the things that I'll often talk with my middle schoolers about, is so many of them, and I think oftentimes we as believers, even as adults, come to the Bible and look at it as a bunch of small stories about people. And yet it's it is one big story about the God of the universe.
Yeah.
And as we look and see how he interacts and works in the lives of the real people that lived during the Bible, we can see that he is that same God that still works in our lives today.
Yeah.
And as we look at that, Christy, as you were talking, I couldn't help but think about that Romans 8 principle that God brings good out of hard things. You know, I think it is the fact that coming to know that God is a God that not only brings good from good, he is the God that and does bring good from bad.
Yeah, that's a whole different level of clever that I don't possess that ability. But God does.
Right.
And that's really reassuring.
Yeah.
And that helps me to abide in him. So it's not just having a quiet time and checking it off the list.
Right.
It's actually finding my story in light of his larger story. And how else would I do that except to spend time with him?
Yeah.
And let him speak into my life the things that will help make sense out of the circumstances that are taking place in my life. So I need that time with him. It's not a have to.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's a get to.
Yeah.
Because that's where he's renewing my mind with truth.
Yeah. And even with my heart, like a want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm thinking back to the verse in Psalm 27, 4 and 5. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Isn't that beautiful? Like the more time we spend there, it's the more we are attracted to be with him, you know? And the more time that we spend getting to know him, the more he becomes so much a part of who we are that to be away from him is what becomes painful.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I mean,
well, and then it's not even just when we're sitting there with our Bible open. It's we are living our day in light of those realities. And so we're taking that perspective into our day, even when I don't have the Bible open, even when I'm not, you know, directly talking to him, that starts to shape how I live and how I think and how I even interpret what's happening throughout my day.
Absolutely. And that's part of that transformation that takes place with the renewing of our minds. Mm-hmm. As we spend time with him, we're able to then view and interpret and understand life from his perspective rather than our own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so good. That's so good. What was just going through my mind was exactly that. In other words, as we abide with him, that's where the growth is taking place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so if we could just end with a little bit of practical advice, I guess, you know, when it comes to spending time with God, we don't want it to be just an exercise. And Christy, I appreciated what you said about, like, we're taking him with us throughout our day. We're asking him his perspective on every interaction that we have. And so in that sense, we are abiding all the time, or we're trying to abide all the time. Mm-hmm. When it comes to time set aside just for him, here's just a little bit of practical advice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Decide on a time of day. Now, for me, it's first thing in the morning. I get up early before my family is awake, if at all possible. I sit at the end of the kitchen table. I open my Bible. I have a journal, a cup of coffee, and I sit there with the Lord and spend time with him. So decide on a time, a place, like a format. What am I going to read? I don't want to just randomly open my Bible every day and hope God will speak. I love to work through a book, and I work through slowly because mm-hmm. I know there's so much that God can teach me in his word. If I'm just skimming, I'm probably not hearing from him. I need to slow down, and I need to wait for him to impress upon me, like, okay, pay attention there.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit can convict me, you know, about what I need to look at in my own life. Make it a priority to be still and to listen for God, to listen for his prompting. The Holy Spirit is there to help us in that way. That's why Jesus said, when I go away, it's even better.
Yeah, it's good for you.
I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who will be with you and who mm-hmm. will be in you. And he's there to help us interpret the word of God and to put it into practice, into our own lives. And then just to be aware of just responding to God. You know, and it doesn't have to be this big application where I'm going to go out and, you know, do X, Y, Z today. It might be just even something like, okay, every time I'm tempted to think this thought, I'm going to remember that God loves me, or
this is truth.
He loves yep. my purpose, or, you know, he loves this person that I'm frustrated with, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Here's what the truth is. That's a great application for transformation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think in addition to that, I like to write.
Yes.
And so I always have my journal, and I used to be all fluffy with my journals, like really cute journals. Yeah. Now I just do like the spiral bound
yeah.
paper that I can just write
okay.
and not feel like it has to be all perfect.
Yeah.
This is just like the Mead, you know, open it up and write on college rule lines.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I write out part of a passage, mm-hmm. and I find that rewriting mm-hmm. scripture yeah. mm-hmm. slows it down in my mind yes. enough to be able to think about it. And then I kind of ask some questions of the
yeah.
text, like,
yeah.
what does this say about God's heart?
Mm-hmm.
So just recently I was reading the end of Hosea. I think it was the end of Hosea. We're in the chronological Bible, so we're all over the place sometimes. And it was this whole thing about what repentance looks like, because the people were kind of like just wouldn't return to the Lord. And you hear God's heart. He's just longing. If you would but repent and return to me. And there was this whole progression of what repentance looks like.
Yeah.
And I, you know, once I wrote it all out, I'm like, oh, well, that's saying you're sorry, mm-hmm. like owning, taking mm-hmm. accountability mm-hmm. of how you've hurt the other person. Have I hurt God's heart?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I do.
Yeah.
And so how owning that? And then there was a section about, you know, making your sacrifices. The bulls and the, you know, that's kind of like this yeah. physical sacrifice because it's in the Old Testament. And I thought, well, we don't do that anymore, but it was costly.
Mm-hmm.
So the sacrifice, okay. So it's like, okay, now it's not yeah. just my lips.
Yeah.
Like God wants our repentance. He wants us to own it and identify where's the sin and how have I betrayed that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something costly. It costs me to say I'm sorry, not just, oh, oops,
yeah.
sorry
yeah.
if you're bothered with my sin. Yeah. It's like, oh, That's there's a sacrifice. So I'm going to have to die to the flesh,
yeah,
and let God know that I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to continually you know, grieve his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so, and being able to write that all down, it helped me to see, oh, that's a fuller sense of repentance than just like, I'm sorry, or I'll try not to do that again.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, writing things down, being able to circle and point things out, and then having a place to pray. I don't know about you, but I get very distracted. Maybe other people could just stay in their little zone and, you know, pray and remember what they were talking about. But I lose track. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that needs to be done. Oh, yeah, that needs to be done. So I write out my prayers.
Write out your prayers.
Yep. Yeah. So it's like I'm talking to the Lord. And then sometimes I ask him questions in my prayer. And I don't always get an answer, you know, an impression. Of course, I, you know, who knows? It's I always want to do that, you know, filter it according to his word. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to say God told me if it's something that is contrary to scripture. Sure. But just, you know, an impression, and then sometimes to have a record of that is really fun to go back. So now I've kind of see how my relationship with God has developed over the years, and the things that I was struggling with, how he's answered, how he has brought resolution, or how he's just brought comfort, even if the, if there is no resolution. So I'm thankful for that. I know it's not everybody's thing, and I don't think that's like the magic, you know, thing. Everybody has to journal, but I would challenge everyone to at least try it.
Yeah.
And try to get, I think of it like cursive, which I know not everybody's learning how to do cursive anymore. But when we were in grade school and we learned cursive, we had to learn the right way to do it.
Yeah.
And then I knew once I got the right way to do it, I could put my little flair on it.
Oh, yeah.
And so I kind of feel like that's what this is about.
Oh, I love that.
Like there are some operational, tangible, concrete ways to do it. Yeah. Like find a place, get a journal, whatever.
Yeah.
But don't feel so like in a corset that you're just trying to do things the right way. You'll figure out your groove.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like any relationship. There are favorite places that you have. There's, you know, favorite, I don't know, just things that are kind of like your story together. And I think God will lead in that way so that you feel like it's organic and authentic.
Yeah. Love that.
Yes. And what I'm seeing and hearing from both of you is slow down.
Yeah.
Be intentional. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think of, and I think that reading through a scripture in 365 days, those kinds of things, I've done those. And I think those are really valuable. And there's a place for that. But I also think there's a place to not feel like if I get behind, I now have to hurry up and catch up. That it is okay if you've got a reading that you're doing and it's supposed to take a day.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down and sit in it and sit with the Lord in the midst of that and walk through it. Be intentional. I think about even prayer before we start. Sometimes
it is, you know,
we jump in and we're like, okay,
I need to do this for you, Lord.
Yes. Okay, God, I have 10 minutes. You have 10 minutes of my attention right
now
or what, however much time. Exactly.
Yeah.
Stop and invite the Holy Spirit to help guide you through and help you to understand what is it I'm about to read?
Yeah.
How does this apply to my life? And then being intentional about that. One of the things I appreciate about that whole idea of journaling is I don't have huge journals, but I do have small responses and oftentimes just questions or observations for myself. And I will sometimes write a short observation and then that goes into just a few sentences of a prayer that is written out as a response to what God has allowed me to observe within that passage. And it's just like, okay, this is how this makes application to my life. And God, I'm asking you to help me to develop whatever it is that I've noticed or help me to watch this characteristic of yourself be noticed by me as I walk through my day, as I walk through life, and to make applications to what I'm doing.
Yeah. And so it sounds like the intentionality of having a time set aside and having a place to record, like if God wants to say something, I want to be ready to record it. And then that then helps you to be intentional throughout the day.
Yeah.
So the goal is that we're walking with the Lord throughout the day. But again, like I said at the beginning, our hearts go into hiding.
Yep.
And so that's why we need time set aside, because it takes us a while to just kind of like, oh, is it safe? Can I just be myself?
Yeah.
Can I cry if I want to? Yeah. Can I laugh about something that's in the body? You know, like I need time to warm up to that. And that doesn't happen on the go.
Yeah.
And so I think, I mean, if that's all we have, go like on the go, like, yes, connect with the Lord on your commute or whatever. But there's a place where our soul can come out of hiding, and it takes a little bit of time. It's kind of like an incubation period, you know, when you see the little chicks that are they're in their eggs, and we need that sense of warmth to say it's safe. You're okay. You're with me. There is no condemnation, Christy.
Yeah.
And so you can talk to me about what's going on in your soul that you've been pushing down because you've had to go, go, go. You've had to be on for people. You don't have to be on for me anymore. Yeah. And so it takes me a little while to start to say, okay, where am I?
Yeah.
You know, people ask you, how are you? I'm like, I don't know.
How much time do you have?
I haven't really thought about how I am because I've been doing so much.
Yeah.
And it's irrelevant how I am. But for God, he doesn't say it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
He wants to know, how's your soul?
And I wonder if that's why some people see the quiet time as more of a duty, because they're not taking enough time to be in a safe place with God and to really let their guard down and to be who they are and allow God to see whatever they want to put out before him, you know. We just move so quickly, and I can see how rushing that would be very unfulfilling, you know. So, yeah, this is beautiful. I love hearing from you ladies and the ways that you spend time with God and just how you offer yourselves to him. I journal too. I use a lot of colors, and mine is more flourishing in pictures, but I tend to think in visuals a lot. And so I'll draw pictures of what I'm reading in scripture. And so mine might have highlighters and colored pencils and pens and all that. That's okay. Not everybody has to do that way. But it's a place for me to ask questions of God. And I, too, may not get the answer right away. But sometimes months later, I go back and, and I'll remember, oh, I wrote that in this color and I drew this color around it or whatever. And I can go back and find it.
He's been answering it. And if you didn't actually articulate the question, he'd be answering it, but I wouldn't
be connecting with his work in my life
because
I just didn't have a record of it. So anyway, thank you for sharing. And I hope that in times to come, we can share even more this way of just how we meet with God and how we learn from him in that place of quiet and of his invitation to us. And so I just leave all of you listeners with this question. You know that God has invited you to come and be with him. The question is, will you accept the invitation?
Thanks for joining us on Corner Pillars. It's a podcast where we share life's experiences in view of God's greater story.